Welcome to Rethink, a podcast focused on the future of skilled nursing. I'm Zahida Siddiqui, editor at Skilled Nursing News. I'm joined for this episode by Neil Pruitt. Neil is chair and CEO of Pruitt Health, roles he has held since 2002. Under his leadership, Pruitt Health has been going strong on expanding and diversifying the organization with more facilities and new service lines, and no plans to downsize. "We always say we don't sell, we buy and we build," he told Skilled Nursing News. Along with sharing his plans for growing Pruitt Health's footprint, he shared metrics on staffing, how his company is reducing costs, and the ongoing recovery efforts from Hurricane Helene. "There will always be a pandemic," he told us. "There will always be a storm, and there will always be a new government program that we have to react to," he said during our conversation. Neil has also served as board chair for the American Healthcare Association, where one of his achievements was developing initiatives with CMS to reduce antipsychotic use in nursing homes by about 50%. He was named 2024's Champion of Quality by ACA for his work on post-acute care quality measures. Before we get to that conversation, I'd like to highlight the Continuum Conference taking place on December 11th in Arlington, Virginia. In the aftermath of the pandemic, borders between segments of the care continuum are bleeding into each other faster than ever, with a greater need for care coordination. WTWH Healthcare is bringing all of its verticals together for a special event. We're inviting our C-suite executive audiences from across senior care and healthcare to learn the trends and strategies reshaping how care is delivered to older and complex populations. Visit skillednursingnews.com/events to find out more. And now my conversation with Neil Pruitt. Neil Pruitt, welcome to the Rethink podcast.
Can you reflect on Pruitt Health's 2024 and describe one win that the company achieved in the last year?
You know, 2024 was a great year for us. We're returning to normal operations after the pandemic. And I'd say that our one crowning achievement is growth. We continue to grow and to upgrade our system. We added our two additional nursing centers recently, one in Brunswick and one in St. Mary's, Georgia, which will be our 100th skilled nursing facility. And during the same time, we acquired two additional assisted living facilities and embarked on a $385 million project in Raleigh, North Carolina. So we are very excited about the future of the sector. We're very excited about Pruitt Health and our role that we'll play in the sector going forward.
Wow. Yeah, those are big. Those are big deals. Can you describe one big challenge that Pruitt Health faced over the course of 2024?
You know, just like every other provider out there, our team wakes up every morning and goes to sleep every night thinking about staffing. We currently have 2,500 open positions, and that's to get us to where we can fully admit in all of our locations. We have 45 people that are dedicated to talent acquisition and getting our story out. And we always say the family makes you stronger is our tagline. And we are trying to convince people by being part of the Pruitt Health family, they can make a difference in people's lives and be part of a great organization.
Great. And looking ahead to 2025, what are your top priorities and goals as CEO?
You know, during the pandemic and most recently during the hurricanes that have hit the Southeast, you get into crisis mode. And unfortunately, there's always something in our industry to react to. Hurricane Helene hit our organization extremely hard. We had 16 centers seriously affected by the storm. During the course of 3 days, I visited all 16 centers, visited with our partners and saw where the damage that occurred. But the resilience of the Pruitt Health team continues to inspire me. We moved into action very, very quickly in our recovery efforts. So there will always be a pandemic. There will always be a storm. There will always be a new government program that we have to react to. Our top priority as an organization is we've been in business for 55 years. We've developed systems and processes along the way, and we know that they work. Making sure that we get back to normal day-to-day operations and living by those systems will better the lives of the patients that are entrusted in our care. And so we call it back to normal. We're getting back to normal operating procedures, and I'm really proud of our team. They've done a great job, and we have a pretty exciting 2025 ahead of us.
Great. Good to hear, and best of luck in your recovery efforts. Turning to investments, can you please tell us about how you're reinvesting in your core footprint, and are there plans to expand beyond the core footprint?
Absolutely. Despite everything that happened, we opened two brand new facilities and last year, one in Beaufort, North Carolina, and one in Pensacola. And this dedicates our commitment to state-of-the-art centers, all private rooms, all with granite countertops, satellite TV, Starbucks, coffee served, concierge units, which we're really excited about. But for us, our physical plants are a healing environment. And during the pandemic, we got behind on our capital expenditures and furniture and equipment and things to make sure they are state-of-the-art facilities. And so we are embarked on a $50 million reinvestment campaign in our core assets, bringing them back up to the standards that our patients expect when they visit a Pruitt Health facility. We also are excited that we are going to have over $117 million in new construction with locations in Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. We are in the process of looking at a facility that will combine a skilled nursing facility with our corporate office, so we can be very close to where patients experience change, and that's at the bedside. So we're very excited about our centers and what we're doing there. I mentioned briefly our $385 million project in Raleigh, North Carolina, and one of the best parts of the city. A beautiful piece of land where we have existing operations that have been modernized and will be soon to be expanded. This will create a continuing care retirement community that offers amenities that are second to none, comparable to the finest country clubs that you can visit. We're excited about this opportunity. It allows us to combine our healthcare expertise with our hospitality bent that we always try to achieve at Pruitt Health.
Mm-hmm. And are you looking to downsize anywhere?
No, we aren't. We always tell folks that we're in the business of buying, not selling. We have calls all the time, and I try to keep telling people we aren't going to sell or downsize any of our operations, but yet they keep calling. We do this because when someone is a family business and they decide to sell their life work, a lot of times they choose us because they know that we'll keep the family tradition alive. I think it's important for our partners when we open a center or when we buy a center to know that they're going to be part of a family that's going to be there to support them. Of course, there'll be tough times, but we're going to be there with them in those tough times and celebrate the great times. And each one of our locations has a story of its people that work there and the people that they serve. And we want to make sure that legacy is longstanding.
Mm-hmm. And then you spoke about a little bit about what I'm going to ask next of the quote unquote cost effective model of care. It's something that when we spoke in the past during the thick of the pandemic, you said that nursing homes must go beyond this cost-effective model of care. And at that time, you mentioned that about 15% of Pruitt Health's inventory consisted of private rooms, with the goal of reaching 25% in the next 2 years and 30% by 2025. How have these endeavors proceeded?
Well, like all things, the economy plays a part in that. Part of our strategy to go to private rooms is to build new facilities or wings on new facilities, and interest rate increases slowed down some of those plans. But I'm proud to say we've made great progress. When we talked before, we were at 15%. Today, we sit at 22%, and we think it'll take us another 3 to 5 years to get to that 30, but we're still committed to it. The project that I mentioned here, Atlanta, will take beds from each one of our locations to create a new facility that's state-of-the-art. What this allows to happen is we can get rid of three-bed wards. We can turn semis into privates. So each time we do one of these projects, we are creating the model of care for the future. On the converse side of that, and the reason that we would have hit our 25% goal, but when we do acquisitions, most of the times they're very low on private rooms. So that will set us back a good bit, but we are committed to getting to that 30% model in 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we build our all private room facilities, the difference in skilled mix is dramatic. The type of people that you're able to get partners with in terms of your referral sources, in terms of being able to provide physician care in the facility, dramatically increases. I'm committed to that model, and our team is working very hard to achieve that strategic initiative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. And then I wanted to turn to metrics on healthcare costs. Are there any metrics that you can share related to how Pruitt Health has been able to bring down systemic healthcare costs related to reduced hospitalizations, et cetera?
You know, what we're very excited about is our Pruitt Health Premier product, which is a Medicare Advantage product, where we're actually take risks just as your traditional Medicare Advantage plans do for our own patient populations that are long stay. This is creates a better experience for the facility because we're able to, the health plan's able to pay each one of our locations an inpatient rate. They're also able to provide nurse practitioner and physician services. All of that drives down readmissions. And so we're aiming to get 70% of our eligible populations enrolled in our Pruitt Health Premier plan. You know, we're in the mid 60s right now, but I think we can achieve that goal. And I think what you'll see is decreased hospital readmissions. You'll see increased customer satisfaction. I believe that it'll help retention in the skilled nursing facility well with additional staff support. So we're very excited about that initiative, and we look forward to expanding.
Great. And I wanted to also ask about new service lines. Have you added new service lines, and what was the company strategy in adding them?
We have. One of our newer service lines is our lab that we created. We created this during the pandemic because we wanted quicker turnarounds on our COVID tests and have expanded it to a full lab. What is great for our clinicians is it fully integrates with our EHR so they can see results right in the electronic health record. We have really perfected this product, and we look forward to rolling it out to our non-related party customers as soon as we feel confident that we have the best product on the market. Another one that we've gotten into is oxygen concentrators and biomedical. It's a great product line. It dovetails very nice into our medical supply company. We're able to offer all these services and even pick up documents for destruction on empty trucks and bring them back here to the corporate office, and really making it very convenient for our non-related party customers as well as the centers that are part of a Pruitt Health family. Going forward, we're very excited about the PACE program. You know, an interesting stat that we tell people is in the state of Georgia, we serve more people in their own homes through our home health infusion pharmacy product through our case management services than we do in our facilities. I like to say that we're the nursing home company that doesn't want you in a nursing home. And when we build that trust that we're going to keep people in the site that they prefer care as long as we possibly can, they come back to us when they need that more complex care. So we're starting to treat younger patients and really develop a relationship and let them know that the Pruitt name means that we'll be behind them every step of their health journey, and we'll do our very best to make sure they achieve the maximum outcomes that they can. The PACE program allows us to expand that by offering a wide variety of services, such as adult day health, physician services, the pharmacy, all in one location. And so We do this so that they can remain in their own home, and it really will decrease government costs. It will decrease dissatisfaction with the entire healthcare system. And again, by serving the patients at the site of care they prefer most, they will know that Pruitt Health is here with our skilled nursing services if they should need us. So we're really excited about taking the Pruitt Health brand beyond our physical locations and really moving it into folks' home. And it's going extremely well. And I think that's really the future of the company.
Great. Turning to workforce issues, I wanted to ask you, have staffing pressures eased at all over the course of 2024 for Pruitt Health?
They sure have. And we're pretty excited about the way that our metrics are moving. We still do have the 2,000 plus openings that I mentioned, but our net hires is meaning the amount of people we hire compared to the people that leave our organization. You know, we're at 20% more hires than terms. And I think that shows that we are steadily making progress and beginning to have many of our centers at full capacity. I will say in this country, and especially in the states that we operate, there is a healthcare workforce crisis. You've heard me talk about it before, but during the pandemic, many of our workforce that may have been later in their career had multiple comorbidities, left the workforce. They simply did for their own health, and they did not return. And unfortunately, our education system has not kept up with that. We're still producing roughly the same nurses that we produced before the pandemic. I happen to be involved here in Georgia with the Board of Regents of the university system, which has all 26 institutions. So working closely with them, making sure that we not only have enough nurses, but enough physicians so that we can fuel the workforce of the future. And it just becomes so amazing to me while we're doing everything we can. I mentioned earlier, those 45 people who all they do each and every day is recruit talent and make sure that we can onboard them in an efficient fashion. At the same time that we are working so hard, the idea of a staffing mandate from the federal government is probably one of the most absurd public policy shifts that I can think of. I really think there's an opportunity for government to partner with private industry to make sure that we do have the nursing programs, that we do have career ladder programs for our certified nursing assistants to move into RNs. There's so much that we can do together in a public-private partnership that we aren't doing, and instead thinking mandates and regulations will fill the void. So despite all the negative headwinds and public policy at Pruitt Health, we're moving full steam ahead, and we're pretty excited about our progress.
Great. I think you've spoken about some of the educational partnerships that you've had. Any other workforce-related initiatives that you wanted to talk about, and any metrics on recruitment and retention that we haven't discussed yet?
Yeah, no, we're seeing our 90-day turnover rate that roughly was around 30%, cut almost in half, which is a key metric for us. And we're excited that we've revamped our onboarding process. We're excited about our Pruitt University with training. We have a career ladder CNA program where we support CNAs getting additional certifications to do specialties within Pruitt Health. And this culminates in really one of my favorite events that we do as an organization. We start at the farthest reaches of Pruitt Health, from Maryland all the way down to Tampa, and have buses that stop along the way, pick up folks from other locations. We all meet in Disney World with our executive leadership program and have a graduation ceremony to celebrate their achievements. You know, it's so gratifying to have that experience, to give our frontline caregivers the time to work with our executive team and let them see how much we appreciate them each and every day. When I visited our centers in in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, the amount of caregivers that came up and gave me a hug because we were able to have that time in Disney World, That is the heart and core of Pruitt Health. And we're really excited about that program. We're really encouraging people to participate in it. As each year goes by, we have more and more senior CNAs that are out in our buildings, carrying our culture, our family values, and the Pruitt Health way to their coworkers. And it's something that we just can't put a price tag on. We're very excited, and we're thinking it's showing tangible results.
That's fantastic. Turning to Medicare Advantage, we've heard a lot of concern about the rise of Medicare Advantage as a payer for nursing homes, including operational pain from increased paperwork, audits, appeals, etc. Is Pruitt Health feeling this pain? And if so, how is the organization responding?
We are. You know, it's traditional Medicare and our skilled mix. It was used to be 95% of the patients that we served. And we define skilled mix as all insurance category of payers plus our Medicare patients. So it went from that high 90% range to roughly half and half, traditional Medicare versus M&A plans. And that does bring its own challenges. It brings paperwork, appeals, denials, et cetera. We have partnered with Accenture Consulting really to use AI to fuel our efforts. And we are very excited about the possibilities, making sure that we have the documentation on the front end that is needed and to justify the clinical need, but also providing documentation on the back end. And the biggest benefit, while that is important to decrease our administrative costs, is our model suggests that we can reduce admission turnaround time, meaning the amount of time it takes us to say yes to a patient by 10%. What that'll do is increase the hospital's throughput. It's good for them. It will allow us to capture a greater part of the market share. And it really is a great partnership with our referral sources and Pruitt Health. So we are extremely excited about it. What we tell folks, too, is if you want to get rid of the bureaucracy of Medicare Advantage, they need to take a look at our Medicare Advantage product within Pruitt Health, the Pruitt Health Premier. We don't require pre-authorization for Part B therapy, for instance. We give additional services and benefits to those clients. And so we provide the same care, but we're doing it from a provider standpoint. We know how to control costs. We know how to do it, and it's not through paperwork. So while we have strategies in place to deal with the Medicare Advantage preparation, we also have strategies in place to offer an alternative that is more patient and member friendly.
Great, great. Turning to surveys, we've been reporting on concerns over survey processes and among other things, many surveyors are recent hires and that's been creating problems. But there are other, you know, issues related to delayed surveys and such. So I wanted to ask you, how have surveys been going for Pruitt Health?
You know, the survey process is a flawed process in general. I think many throughout the profession have said that time and time again. I will credit CMS. I think that it's part of the new survey process where they're having an abbreviated survey for high performing centers is a great step in the right direction. So I do applaud them for their efforts. One of the biggest problems we have is opening these new facilities. The paperwork required, we just had a recent incident in Pensacola where we're waiting on a survey so we can begin admitting patients. Halfway through the process, when we had already submitted the application, they changed and needed more paperwork, which restarted the clock. And providers that are trying to open new locations, to close one down, to retrofit it to those private rooms that I'm talking about, I really hope the government will work with us to speed up so that we can deliver the type of care that every consumer wants and expects. As far as surveying current properties, it is a challenging process. It depends on the surveyor you get, their training, and how they interpret the regulations. It can be frustrating, but generally the surveyors want what we want, and that's the best care of the patients. And we do believe in having someone come behind us and making sure that our people are doing complying with regulations and making sure we're doing right by the patients. So that's why at Pruitt Health, we've embarked on a plan to get all of our surveys JACO accredited. And so instead of just having one set of eyes, we like to have a second set of eyes come behind it. And, you know, we think it validates our internal quality assurance performance improvement processes. And we also think it gives the consumer peace of mind that we're doing everything we can to make sure that we're doing right by them. And although we sometimes get frustrated with the survey process, we do understand that all these efforts are trying to make sure our patients are well taken care of. And so we look for ways to partner with our survey agencies whenever we can. One of the things we've done over time is by troubled facilities. And you've heard me talk in some of the our interviews before, what we call radical transparency. That means that we want to make data available and transparent, whether it's on our website, whether it's in our quality report that we produce every year, or being helpful to the surveyors when in our buildings, or communicating with the public through media. We think it's very important that we show all of our data and really be a good partner in that regard. So, like everyone else, I'm frustrated with the survey process, but I think there's a way to make it better. And I think, the public-private partnership is the way to do it.
Great. And then my last question. This podcast is called Rethink. What is something that you think leaders in the nursing home SNF sector need to rethink? It could be anything, a common operational practice, a common mindset, a business strategy, how advocacy is being done, anything at all.
You know, I tell our folks all the time that at Pruitt Health, we want each day that we operate to be better than the day before. It's a never-ending process that challenges us to be our best. And when we're in our best, we better the lives of the patients that are in our care. And I think that so often we forget that each day is an incremental step, but sometimes there's a need to make a big leap. And I challenge folks to really think about what that big leap is. At Pruitt Health, it's taking risk. You know, before we were traditionally, we have a payer, they pay us, we provide the service. We're now willing through our Medicare Advantage product, through the PACE program, we're willing to say, okay, give us a lump sum. Let us get the best minds in the profession that work here at Pruitt Health and let them come up with a model of care and a way to meet a patient's needs that is holistic, cost-effective, and maximizes the customer's experience. And so at Pruitt Health, while each day must be better than the day before, we also are challenging ourselves to make that huge leap. How long will it take for us to be willing to be at risk for our patient population? And the long-term care profession, every state that I know of constantly fights to try to keep managed care out of the profession and decrease paperwork for some of the reasons we talked about earlier. We're challenging ourselves is eventually, could we be that managed care company? Could we be the ones that's willing to take risk and offer a superior product with less paperwork, less bureaucracy, less administrative services? Our Pruitt Health Premier product that we hone so well within our own facilities, we're now taking it to non-related party customers and saying, you know, we're going to give you the same deal our facilities have. This is what you can expect. You can expect more augmentation to your staff in terms of nurse practitioners. You can expect radical transparency in the care of how you submit and process payments. You can expect service when you need it, at the right time, at the right place. And for our partners that are not related to Pruitt Health, it's offering them an alternative way, a way to say enough with the insurance companies. We want to be part of a provider-led team that has our best interests at heart. So again, while each day must be better than the day before, you must be willing to take those giant leaps. And sometimes those giant leaps are the unexpected ones that folks would never expect a nursing home company to do. So that's how I would challenge our profession to rethink how we deliver care.
Great. Thank you so much, Neil. This has been a fantastic opportunity. Really appreciate it.
That does it for this episode of Rethink. I'd like to remind listeners about our upcoming Continuum Conference taking place on December 11th in Arlington, Virginia.
Visit skillnursingnews.com/events to learn more and get tickets. Until next time, thanks for listening.